Hey, everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, look at this. How to Be a Latin Lover does it amazingly at the box office, but it still doesn't have what it takes to knock out Dominic Toretto. We'll talk about that and more next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Oh, hey, everybody. Welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Of course, this is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we like to...
Oh, we had some good suggestions, actually. Some people are saying that they could record videos.
Oh,
I like that. I like the way y'all think.
Yes.
I think it's called prognosticate. Yeah.
Is that the correct pronunciation?
Maybe. I don't know. Thinking too hard.
Yes, about the box office that you had.
Sorry, I was just thinking, I just looked at the top five, and I wish you guys could have seen my face. I was like... What?
Yeah, that's okay. It's not what I was expecting.
No, not for at sure. All.
I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and the Instagram at Happy Go Jackie.
And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And as always, our third member usually is Neil, but he's way back in Philadelphia, just hanging out.
I think it's bachelor party time.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, we also have a fantastic person guiding us along the way here. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Steve.
Woo!
Hey!
How excited he was! Yes,
it was personally muted. I had to flick it there. And what's up, everybody?
Okay, yay!
So, ladies and gentlemen, of course, you can always like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and of course, Steve's going to put the chat up so you'll be able to share your thoughts about the box office in general or anything in particular this week that we'll be talking about. And of course, you're watching even after the show's over. Carrie, what can they do?
If you guys can't comment with us live, you can comment down below on the YouTube video. Yay.
That's right. So your thoughts will be just there in perpetuity.
Yeah, but permanently.
There you go. So let's just jump right into it there. Our top five. Of course, number one, probably no surprise at all, The Fate of the Furious coming in from Universal, another $19.3 million to its box office till. Mm-hmm. Almost a 50% drop from last week, but still enough to take care of it. So look at them
still
go.
Good.
Still good.
Still able to hold the lead in the race.
Ah, look at you. Have you seen it? Yes? No?
Yes, I did. Oh, wait, we could talk about it. I'm like, wait, over on that movie. I did. I actually watched 7 and 8 on the same day because I hadn't seen 7, so I caught up, saw 7, then saw 8. I do agree with stuff you were kind of talking about of how 7 was good but didn't quite have the oomph. I mean, 8 was good, but it wasn't quite 100% there. Well, the problem is part of it is Dom's kind of a bad guy for part of the movie, and that makes it like, you know? Jason Statham has a fight scene on a plane later, which I don't want to spoil. There's another factor in it, which was actually a really good scene. Like, it's kind of absurd, but I really liked it. Also, technically, Jason Statham working with them, hashtag justice for Han. Wait a minute. I only really bring this up because I talked with that actor at the Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival. Just posted my videos, like, literally right before this show. So go on Popcorn Talk and you can see my interviews on those. So that was a little bit weird. You're like, you killed my friend, but we're going to work together? So I liked it, but didn't love it. I actually think I really liked 7 a lot.
Did you get a little teary-eyed at the end?
With the memory things and then the different hairstyles even. That's
just
cute and funny.
Rocking the suit styles, yes.
The CGI is a little off. Just a little.
Yeah.
And it's that just little bit that makes you go, eh. But I really liked it. I liked the extra hand-to-hand combat. We're talking about 7 if people got a little lost here. The extra hand-to-hand combat scenes with Michelle Rodriguez were cool. Some of the car stuff is just absurd. But at this point, they've already made fun of all right, we do crazy shit. Let's just keep doing it. So then it's
fine. Of course.
Yeah.
The one thing that, because they make such a big deal about that we can't, in 8, that we can't contact Brian. He's out of this life. We can't be doing that. But at the end, when they're all in New York and they're and they're all hanging out, as they usually do, gather together as family at the end of each film, you think Brian and me are allowed to just hang out with them. They're not allowed to go out and do these incredibly crazy missions that they get involved in. But if they just want to hang out with family
they don't want to buy the plane ticket.
Because
they live
ticket.
In another country.
Oh, okay, sure. And, I think they're doing well financially. I think they've got from their
they're busy. They're very busy.
But I figure, even I got to figure by the end of 10, because they still make him alive in this universe, that even by the end of 10, you know they're going
to
bring back everybody.
To figure it out.
That at least they're going to bring back his brothers to at least do what they did in 7.
Right.
Just even if it's at a distance to see him just kind of come in.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't talk and he's just kind of in the background, that you just see him there at like a little family gathering to kind of close out the whole series.
Good point.
Because if you're going to have him still be alive, there's no sense in not having him seen.
Yeah.
And because now that, this film's been on for a few weeks, but we know that there's a child in play.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like one of the reasons that Brian kind of stepped aside too,
at least. Kids.
Yes. Yeah. So, but now, of course, if Dom's got a child.
Yeah.
So if you're like, what are they going to do for these next films? I feel like the child's always going to be with Brian and Mia. I feel like that's what's going to happen.
Oh.
To be able to explain, like, you know, why they can go off and still do their stuff. Yeah.
They're watching the kids.
Yep. There you go.
Yay.
So, look at that.
You guys get suddenly all quiet in the chat, or is it not loading? And it's a different Steve, guys.
Yeah, sorry. It's, no.
Other Steve.
Dun, dun, dun.
This one did Vikings, if you guys watch Vikings.
Who didn't?
Such a good show.
I didn't. coming in at number 2 was the subject of our box office bet, and did way better than I was expecting it to do, given the amount of theaters that it was in. How to Be a Latin Lover.
Oh, man. I was like, what?
Yeah, we, both Neil, Carrie, and I, we betted low on this, just to given that it was only a little over 1,000 theaters.
Well, because so many other ones had, like, we were like, okay, sure. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah. And this pulled in just a hair over $12 million. Ooh, man, phenomenal.
When we're thinking under 5, that's amazing.
Give it up for Ken Marino. I mean, he put together a fun cast and a fun movie.
Well, apparently it is.
Apparently, yeah.
I think Neil also. I think he had 2.5.
Yes, yeah, so...
I'm safe. Y'all are tweeting at me like, have fun. I'm like, nope.
We still have Neil in the mix, guys. Yeah. If Neil wasn't involved, Carrie would be enjoying this film.
Yeah, I still have to go get the other one, though. Yeah, I don't even remember his name because it's that bad. No.
The Smurfs?
No, I didn't lose Smurfs. The Unforgettable?
Oh, that's right. Yes, Unforgettable. Right? Yeah. So you forgot it.
it's that memorable, right?
That's right. Sadly, out of the top 5 already. Coming to number 3, Bahubal 2, The Conclusion.
Which, so it's a Bollywood movie.
Yes. I know zero about this. Only in 425 theaters domestically, but it still made over $10 million.
Yeah, it actually has like a really high rating on IMDb right now, where I was like, really? Because not necessarily all Bollywood fans are forgiving. They can be really harsh, because there's some that I like and they have like a 5 rating. But this has like almost an 8 or 9 rating. So I'm like, wow, really? I looked it up. I'm actually not really familiar with the title, but I looked it up. It's a sequel, obviously. The first one is Bahubal. I think Bali? Yeah, Bali.
Oh, Bahubali. Sorry.
And that one, the first one is called The Beginning, and so this is The Conclusion, and it's kind of historical. But I think the second one, I read the description, it looks like it mixes historical and present day. Does well enough that it's at my local theater, so I was like, all right, so they got numbers.
At this point, if you're going to name it The Beginning and The Conclusion, do you really need the 2 in there? Can't it just be Bahubali, the Beginning,
the Conclusion?
Bahubali, The Conclusion?
True.
Do you need a 2 in there? I don't know.
Yeah. Adelia makes a good point that, is it Eugenie? Eugenie Derbez has his built-in Latino audience now trying to branch into English language. Fair, glad it did well. So,
ooh, and Albin, he said he watched How to Be a Latin Lover as a graduation treat.
Did you like it, Albin?
Oh,
thank you.
Eugenio.
I'm not sure. I'm sorry, but
look at that. And as Media Shock says there in the chat, if it can make 12 out of 400 theaters, don't be surprised for it to go wide. That's very true, Media Shock.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. Adelia, you should write the description then, because that's not what I read. Adelia says Bahubali is an Indian fantasy movie dubbed the Indian Lord of the Rings. The first ended with a cliffhanger. Cool, because what I read didn't make it sound that epic. So that sounds much more like, ooh. And Albin says, referring to How to Be a Latin Lover, I very much enjoyed it. It was my style humor, and the trailers are very much representation of the humor in the movie. Okay.
Oh, there you go.
I'm like, so I'm... Well, there was a couple moments. I hadn't seen any trailers, but on the Fast and the Furious 8, the Fate of the Furious, they did have a trailer for it. And so I'm like, oh, that's what it's about. Because I'm like, I don't know. There were a couple moments in it that I thought were pretty funny, but other parts I'm like, whew, it's like not, it was trying too hard. Almost.
Not your cup of tea?
Not quite.
Oh, okay. Nah. So I guess Carrie will not be seeing that.
But I didn't lose, so.
That's right. So we don't have to worry about checking that out.
I was going to add, though, I did see also, it's been out for a long time. So if you guys haven't seen this yet, I do recommend it. The opening night film for the Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival. It's a very long title. It's like L-A-A-P-F-F. Opening night film was Better Luck Tomorrow, which is actually really cool. And if you haven't seen that, I recommend it. It came out 15 years ago. So this was like a 15-year anniversary, and they had the cast there and everything. It launched a lot of careers for many Asian Americans, and Johnny Cho is in it. I don't remember how to say his last name, but Han in Fast and the Furious. That's actually technically the birthplace of Han, which I thought was so cool, because in watching the movie they call him Han and I'm like, what? And his posture and his clothes, and he has a cool car. Then I'm like, wait a minute. If you guys didn't know, Justin Lin, who's the director of that movie, directed Tokyo Drift, where Han comes into play, and other Fast and the Furious movies. So, if you want to see what was Han like in high school, Better Luck Tomorrow.
Oh, look at that. That's kind of cool if you just kind of consider that like a little prequel to Han's life. Yeah,
it kind of is. And it's a cool movie anyways.
All right. Yeah. I should check that out.
You should.
Coming in at number... all right, Gary, I will.
Okay.
Okay. Media Shack has taken your suggestion. He's going to watch it on demand.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Tweet at me.
I'm assuming that, or unless he's referring to Albin, talking about how to be a Latin lover. But I don't know. I'll assume it's your great advice.
You know, sometimes.
Coming in number four was the Tom Hanks Emma Watson film, The Circle, based on the David Eggers novel from 2013. And that made $9.3 million. Mm. I've heard mixed reviews on this one.
I think we were talking about this. I'm like, it's one of those that's going to be really cool, I think. It has potential. Or it's going to be meh.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, get annoyed with how it is. Because it's just, what is the twist? Or what is the final? Like, they tell you a little too much in the trailer. Like, what is the end result? And then that will be the, okay, do I like this or eh?
You know, what do you think about in terms of Tom Hanks' star quality? Do you feel like Tom Hanks is still got enough juice to open up a big film on his own?
Yes, but he, to his credit or not, is kind of this nice man character. And so him being the Circle and him kind of being portrayed as maybe a bad guy, I think kind of goes contrary to what you think of him. It's like when you know these characters, men or women, and they're normally like these nice people or like kind, like... There's a lot of adjectives you could put in there. But, you know, you're just like, oh, I like you and I trust you and stuff. And then they play, like, these bad people. You go, like, I don't know if I buy it. You know, it just doesn't fit right. Like,
even with his salt and pepper beard?
Yeah. Well, it's like, okay, one of the ones I remember I just was like, ugh, and I didn't like the movie either was 1 Hour Photo with Robin Williams.
Oh, right.
I just didn't care for the movie, and I really didn't like him then being, like, this weird, creepy... disturbing bad guy character. So stuff like that is like, it's hard because it's like you almost don't want to box the actor in, but it's like, sorry.
Because I mean, I guess if you just look at just some of the stuff that he's in recently, so The Circle from just opened up here,
yeah,
$9.3 million. Inferno, so the third film in the kind of Dan Brown trilogy of films with Ron Howard.
See, that one works for him because it's like he's not maybe not pure good, but he's still a good guy.
That only opened with $14.8 million.
Yeah.
Sully opened with 35, ended up going to make $125 million.
Mm-hmm.
A Hologram for a King, for the King, that was like $1.1 million that it made for its opening. At the end made $4.2 million. Bridge of Spies 15 made 72. Saving Mr. Banks ultimately made.
Oh, see, I like Saving Mr. Banks.
That was a fun film.
That was really good.
That made about 83. Captain Phillips 25 for 107. Cloud Atlas, although you can't, I mean, Cloud Atlas, there's a lot of people.
That's an interesting one. Media Shock. Tom Hanks is always a safe bet. Would love to see him play an evil role. Loved him in Lady Killers. See, Lady Killers, though, I wouldn't say it's pure evil because it's comedic. You know? Different.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you feel like he's lost a little bit of the box office clout that he had before? Because if you look at somebody like Tom Cruise, it's pretty much kind of stayed kind of consistent in terms of being able to. For the most part, I think like he can bring in those numbers.
Yes. Sorry, I was just saying, because I remember on Fate of the Furious, they have a new trailer or a longer trailer for The Mummy, and I'm more interested now because that one, instead of being a teaser, explained more.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay. Now I'm a little more interested because you laid out pieces instead of just like, here's random stuff.
You understand why she gets four eyes at one point, four pupils.
No.
But, no? No.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, let's see here.
Last one.
The twist was interesting.
Okay, good to know.
All right. And Albin says in the chat that Tom Hanks has definitely lost the box office clout.
It's maybe gone down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's I don't think, in terms of acting, hasn't lost a step, but just in terms of...
Yeah. Bad roles, maybe. Like, they're not quite right for him.
Although, I mean, I guess there's something to be said, like, if you are an actor, certainly, and you've had as much success as he's had, both in television and film. I mean, he's been producing a lot of stuff for HBO, The Banner Brothers, From Earth to the Moon. So you look at that, willing to like maybe gamble on interesting projects that you want to put your name behind to be able to get those films made. Otherwise, they may not ever have a chance of getting made.
That's a very good point.
But that also means that they're probably not going to do well. But I got to respect somebody that they're going to trade kind of their clout to try to help projects that probably wouldn't get off the ground in.
I agree.
Yeah. Let's see. I was saying in the chat, Delia says, well, the difference is Tom Cruise is more of an action star. Tom Hanks is a dramatic actor. With the rise of TV, the average openings for dramas have been severely hampered. Let's see. Yeah,
you get good drama on TV, but you want action theaters. I agree. That's a good point.
Well, yeah, but I would love a good action. Well, I mean, but then you see, like, Iron Fist.
But you want the action on the big screen is what they're saying, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, I'm fine with action on the small screen too. Give me some.
That's true. Yeah.
Give me some Into the Badlands. Although I've never watched it, so I can't say how good.
I hear good things, though. I want to watch that next.
I want to see some really good action.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That was just our nice little Tom Hanks digression.
Speaking of action, also catching up because new ones. I finally saw Transformers: Age of Extinction. I didn't love it. I didn't like his daughter, the young girl. I felt she was generally kind of annoying, and her guy was kind of annoying. Like he had moments. And then it was just kind of like, I just didn't care about them. I liked Mark Wahlberg's character enough, though. So the thing is, not that I love Megan Fox, but like this young girl, I just didn't care about them enough.
Now, did you miss Shia LaBeouf at all? His role in the series?
No, probably not really. So I thought Mark Wahlberg was fine to transition to a new group of people.
Yeah.
I just didn't like that the girl was so like...
Yeah. No, I know. She didn't do much for
me. No. I liked a lot of the Autobots. I liked where the story went. It was kind of interesting. See, there you go. Stanley Tucci kind of playing a bad guy. But he's not super bad.
My problem with the Transformers films is that they shoehorn too much of the human characters inside there. Like, I feel like I would rather just see more. I feel like those Transformers characters could be just interesting on their own, that I don't need a lot of the human characters.
So you'd rather less people...
And more time to focus on developing the personalities and relationships with the actual Transformers. I mean, that's why I want to see that.
Okay.
If you look at like any of the IDW comics that are all just, you know, pretty much just, you know, Transformer, the robot centric comics.
Oh, right.
There's so much great stories being told in that comic series. It's like, yes, I would love to see that kind of approach handled on the big screen. I don't need to have human characters to kind of be my entry point into these films.
Man, this is why we love you guys in live chat. Love it. Albin, the human characters were worse than the first three. Marky Mark does not portray an engineer very well. Fair enough. I like him enough, though, that I'm like, it's fine. Media Shock. If that was my daughter, I would have smacked her boyfriend within 5 minutes. Yeah, there's just... or just stuff with her. Like, I want a smarter character. Well, it's funny because I watched Transformers and Fast and Furious 7 within a very short time, and I'm like, even though Fast and Furious is absurd, I cared so much more about that franchise than Transformers at that point.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just like, but I'm like, it's because I like these characters and these relationships, and I felt Transformers, you're not getting that as much, and you're like, meh.
No, I would dig deep into the Optimus relationship with any other of the Transformers. I would like to see that.
Yeah.
We also have Serenity, though, asked if Carrie had seen American Gods. And you know what? She's going to be talking about it at a little right after the show.
Right after this. I got my American Gods t-shirt on, actually. And it's right after this at 11 o'clock after Buzz.
Well, look at that. Nice little plug. Look at you.
I already plugged my interviews for the film festival, too. So
No, oh, I gotta just plug.
Throw it out there.
I mean, I get stuff to plug too, but you know, I'm
we
not
do.
Gonna, you know,
do well, it at
I'm
the
not,
end.
No, I guess, you know, I could. Or sure.
You do food stuff. You like that I called you out in my food video?
That's right. closing out our top five, we've got The Boss Baby from Fox, a little hair over $9 million. Yeah, he's the boss, you know.
Well, he's still hanging around.
That's right. That's yeah. So internationally, though, look at that. The big thing, of course, is what's coming up this week. In fact, it's our only film to be betting on for the box office bet, which would be good. It's always nice to be able to mix Ooh. It up and shoot for the moon with this one. But we've got Disney's and Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 will be coming out. And it's already been released internationally as well. So it's been in 37 markets this past weekend. And it had a $101.2 million opening. It's 57% ahead of the first Guardians, 50% bigger than Captain America the Winter Soldier, and 19% wow. above Thor the Dark World when comparing the same suite of territories and all of today's exchange rates. And in all openings this weekend, the James Gunn film was the number one movie, save in Portugal, Turkey, and Vietnam. It also bested the original in each market except for Belgium, which had the previews the last time around, and on 176 IMAX screens, and ahead of a big push this weekend, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 made $5 million.
Nice. Yeah, I have a few friends who already saw advanced screenings and they enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure I'll be seeing it on Friday.
Oh, yeah, I'm about to see it.
The biggest play was in the UK with $15.5 million, followed by Australia at $11.6 million, Germany with $8.3 million, France with $7.9 million, and Mexico with $7.6 million. And now in the UK, Disney has the top two openers of 2017, led by Beauty and the Beast, and with Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in second place. And it's the second biggest film ever for a Marvel Cinematic Universe title, behind Captain America Civil War and ahead of the Guardians of the Galaxy by 86%.
Just a little bit.
And as we're talking about Fast and the Furious earlier here, The Fate of the Furious, excuse me, that pushed past $1 billion worldwide, while Disney's Beauty and the Beast has moved up to $1.142 billion globally with a 9% increase in Japanese for its second week.
Oof.
Yeah, so look at that, man. It's amazing. I mean, again, as we were talking about last week, too, if you think like the eighth film in a series.
And already, still doing well.
It's so quickly getting over the $1 billion mark. Amazing.
I had a friend who, they were explaining how, like, or they kind of felt, too, car movies worldwide generally can do pretty well, too. Like, it deals with cars. Like, everybody can understand that. You know, it's not a language thing so much. Cool, fast cars. All right, nice. You know?
Are you more excited about Fast and Furious 9 or the spinoff with Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham?
Maybe Statham and Dwayne, if only because I'm curious where that will go. And I'm not as curious where 9 will go.
I am curious to see what
I'm curious, but...
Because from what I've heard and what I've been told is that, and I'm sure many people here know about it as well, is that when the film was first released, there was a little teaser at the end of the credits that set up the Jason Statham, Dwayne Johnson kind of franchise. It was going to start
on F8?
Yes, but before the film got released, Vin Diesel's sister, who's also produced on the film, found out about it, told
said
Vin,
nope.
And they said, nope. They ended up pulling back all the prints, cut that scene out, and then re-released those back to the theater. So I would love to know what that clip was. I don't know if anybody's seen it. I've tried to find out information about that clip between the two of them and see what it's about. Box office bet, Frank 3.5, Neil... Oh, Carrie! Well, yeah. There you go. Enjoy How to Be a Latin Lover.
Yeah.
You know what? That Twitter, look at that. Twitter is always right. You know?
How is it? Oh, okay.
Well, they're
said,
calling you
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Cat, CA 1987, not sure about The Rock. What do you mean you're not sure about The Rock?
Oh, come on.
I can't, although I didn't see Central Intelligence, and that's more because of Kevin Hart. I'm not a huge Kevin Hart fan.
No.
So I couldn't see past that to go see that. But Baywatch, I'm jazzed about seeing Baywatch.
Baywatch looks fun. It looks very fun.
And then, I mean, he's been talking big on his Instagram that he just started getting down there to shoot Rampage, which that should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's also doing Jungle Cruise. And I figure, like, he seems excited about it, so I'm willing to give it a
Jumanji.
Shot. Yep, that... Oh, but Kevin Hart's in that, too. So. But I feel like I'll go see Jumanji.
Yeah.
All right, because I feel like, all right, I like the first one. I'll go see the second. All right.
Yeah. Serenity. Yeah. So Serenity's like, I can't go to sleep because American Gods after. Yes. And then I know. You know why it's late? Because I'm here, and I'm here for you all. And that's why American Gods has to be at 11. And the shirt, thank you very much. It is from Comic-Con, from this past Comic-Con. They had them at their booth.
Interesting. You know,
Experience booth.
Wow, that's cool. Thanks for getting some for everybody else here on the show.
You know, it's like one per person, man.
I don't think that was the case.
I might have a tote bag.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
There you go. It'd be great for my
e-shop. Could have got you a shirt from my race job today.
I like how that's like, could have, but could've. I didn't. I could have.
Yeah. You know.
I didn't do it.
If you guys like race cars, speaking of race cars, go check out my social media. I posted a bunch on Twitter and Instagram. I was at a racetrack today.
She's all up in it.
Yes.
Yes.
It was fun. I got to go on the racetrack. I didn't drive because then I was doing social media too, but I got to be in someone else's car and they drove fast.
And you walked on the track.
No, I didn't walk on the track, but I got to be in a car and they drove fast. So that
you didn't
fun.
Do like Mickey well, Rourke?
Well, fast-ish. She's like, it's not fast. And I'm like, it feels fast to me. And she's like,
was it furious at all?
It was. Those curves, man, she's like, man, that's a weird pun there. And I didn't mean it that way. But just how like different parts, because I don't know anything about cars and she's done racing stuff. So it's like, all right, cool. Anyway.
Let's see here in the chat there. Levy Speak. Levy Speak says, I am the same way with Zac Efron.
Zac Efron actually looks pretty funny in the trailer.
He looks so ripped in there that it feels like his skin is about to burst.
Right? Yeah.
It looks so, like his skin looks just so taut. And I'm just like, ooh.
What, you don't want some 0% body fat going on?
But it just feels like at any moment
it's
just
a bit much.
He's just going to just rip apart.
Oh, thanks, Sky Patterson and Serenity. says my hair looks. So this is very fluffy right now because I was being a more like professional work today. So I had to hide away my colored hair and my eyebrow ring. And so I braided it and tucked it underneath. And so if you watch any of my social media posts, you don't see it at all.
No, very
but
well
then
done.
I undid it and it was like, poof. So I went with it.
Because I was seeing it. I was like, where's Carrie's, you know, that?
I was wondering if anybody commented on it. CA 1987. No, I don't think he's a good actor, and I wouldn't see a film. He was the lead in. Oh, as in
The Rock?
Zac Efron. Oh. And then actually, I respectfully disagree. Says Baywatch has a good cast, and the villain is played by Priyanka Chopra from Quantico, and she's also a Bollywood actress. And they said excited. Yeah, I think it looks cool that she's kind of like a bad guy ish.
It should be fun. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And they did something back here in Los Angeles last week.
They did the slow-mo run. Yeah. Yes. I had some friends who went and live Facebook lived it.
How long did it take them to do it? Did they run it or just watch it?
No, they participated, but I don't remember how long it actually was. I just saw the end. No, I don't think it's quite so bad. And actually, totally random thing, Zac Efron fans, if you all didn't know, Zac Efron has a very small part in the TV show Serenity, which some people are like, wait, what? Yes, Zac Efron on an episode of Serenity.
Wait, do you mean Firefly?
Firefly. Gotcha. Sorry, this show of Firefly. I was thinking the movie.
He does? But
yeah, he's an episode of Firefly. He's the doctor as a kid.
Oh, interesting.
Sorry about that, guys.
Well, look at that.
Firefly, not the movie.
We're all connected, guys. So, of course, as I mentioned before, we only one film coming out next weekend. That's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. But before we go and kind of give our top five and do our box office bet, we like to do a little box office rewind. Look at somebody that's going to be in one of the upcoming films this weekend and see how their opening films did. I decided that we've already talked about Kurt Russell and Chris Pratt's already got some big stuff in there. So I decided to go a little bit deeper and go to an old school action icon who's also showing up in this film. Mm-hmm. None other than the Italian Stallion himself, Sylvester Stallone. He's going to be in the film there. So I thought we'd do a look back at some of his top five films that he had. Coming in number five was Rambo First Blood Part 2 back in 85. $20.1 million its opening weekend.
I've never seen a Rambo movie.
Really?
I've actually never seen a Rocky movie either.
Man.
I know.
Well, three is fun. Four, I guess. Five is, you can skip that. Six, I really Rocky Balboa, I really enjoyed that.
Right.
And then Creed is just like a nice extension to that. Mm-hmm. Those are some good ones. I think you'd enjoy Creed.
Okay.
Especially because he'll be directing the new Black Panther film too.
Nice.
So,
I mean, it's one of those Rambo and Rocky. I'd want to see at least the originals just because they're classics at this point.
The, Rambo. Yeah, Rambo. I think that was it. John Rambo, or whatever they called it. But basically, they came out like 5-6 years ago. Man, it is just so over the top. Stallone directed it, and it goes crazy with violence at the end.
Yeah.
Also, a film that I saw at the break room at work today. It was playing for a little bit. Number four was The Expendables 2. It came out in 2012, $28.5 million.
I think I fell asleep while watching that one.
Jean-Claude Van Damme plays the villain in this one.
I think I started it and just was like, I don't care. I like the first one, but the second one, I'm pretty sure I fell asleep.
The concept of that series
always
was cooler than the execution.
Right, yeah.
I just felt like it could have been so much better than what it was.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was disappointed by it because at the end, Jean-Claude Van Damme comes back and he plays the villain, which is great. But I felt like the final battle between him and Stallone was so lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, come on, this could have been staged to be so much more exciting.
Yeah.
So I was really bummed on that one. Another film that we're talking about coming in number three was Creed. So came out in 2015, $29.6 million. That is a really good film. So.
I'm sorry if I say it wrong. I'm going to say it's just Yahya Akabani. Sorry. Haven't seen the previous ones, but still enjoyed Creed. Good to know.
Yes. That was, that's a
Do you really need to see the previous ones?
You don't.
Because understand he was a fighter before in a history, then that's fine.
It's one of those that if you've seen them all, it just adds a little deeper appreciation.
Sure. Okay.
But you can still watch it just going in cold.
Yeah.
Number two, which is surprising to me. From 2003, made $33.4 million. Spy Kids 3D, Game Over.
I know I saw the first and really enjoyed it. I'm pretty sure I saw the second and liked it. I don't think I got to the third.
I just never could get into the Spy Kids franchise.
Oh, they're fun.
Oh, I don't know.
Have you seen Sharkboy and Lava Girl?
No, I did not see that one.
That was a little rougher.
Yeah, just that particular line of films that Robert Rodriguez did, I just never really got on board for. And of course, coming in number one should be no surprise, considering how well Expendables 2 did.
Yep.
Back in from 2010, The Expendables $34.8 million. I suppose, and I guess the latest stories have that Stallone is walking away from the latest Expendables film. So I think with him removing himself, I think that series is pretty much done by this point.
Yeah, probably.
Because I feel like Schwarzenegger said, well, if he's not doing it, I'm stepping away too.
Yeah,
so,
all just kinda...
yeah, which is a shame because Kelsey Grammer, he was in the third one. So we need more Kelsey Grammer in our lives, don't we? Is she playing some kind of Soldier of Fortune? No?
I didn't see the third one.
Oh, come on. It's got Ronda Rousey in there.
Yeah, I like that they changed up a little bit more. But yeah, if I didn't love the second, I wasn't moving on to the third.
Well, there's always talk, too, about doing like a female's version of the Expendables.
Yeah, Sky Patterson. Spy Kids, cool. After that, nothing else exists. All right, fair enough. Yeah, first one was cool, but then they got a little cheesier.
So, of course, the name of the film this week is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. First off, before we even start talking about it, how excited are you for this film?
Well, I am, but I enjoyed the first one, but I think I maybe saw it too late because everyone is raving about it and everything. I try not to listen, but, you know, everybody's all talking about, oh my gosh, it's so good, so good, so good. And don't get me wrong, I really liked it, guys. Don't get me wrong. But I wasn't like, oh my gosh, best is ever, and like freaking out the way my friends were.
Yeah.
So this one, I'm like, I'll probably definitely enjoy it and it'll be really fun, but I'm probably not going to be freaking out about it. So
yeah, it's considering how well the film did, because these are characters that are like a real deep cut in Marvel's library when the first film came out.
I like the characters, I like the actors, I like the world, like everything about it. I enjoy. Oh my, okay, Baby Groot though, I'm already freaking out about Baby Groot. I want a Baby Groot. Oh my gosh, I watched that trailer and I'm like, it's so cute. It's so cute. Oh my gosh, guys, you've seen it, right? You're just like, I don't know why, but that little thing is like, I want it.
I'm just glad that they gave Michael Rooker his more for Yondu. He's got a bigger fin, because that's always kind of bugged me about the first film.
Okay.
That Yondu's fin was so much shorter than it ever appeared in the comics. So
fair enough.
This time he's got a little, he's been juicing on that fin. Yeah. He's a little bit bigger now.
Are you excited?
I I'm looking forward to it. It's probably not. They're fun films. I don't know if they're my favorites. I'm probably gravitating more towards the Captain America films. It's probably being my favorite of the Marvel series.
Emmanuel says Teen Groot. No, I want Baby Groot. I mean, I like adult Groot, but Baby Groot. Oh, that's a good point. Technically, Baby Groot is still almost when it's in the pot. So when he's walking around, is that I'm like, I still don't count that as Teen Groot. I still toddler? Think he's a baby. Yeah, it's like toddler.
Toddler Groot.
Toddler there Groot.
I'm curious to see. Yes. I feel like, because it's interesting, because James Gunn also agreed that he's going to be doing the third film as well, too. Right. So, I mean, this has been, other than like Jon Favreau for the first two films and the Russo brothers for the second two Captain America films, I mean, James Gunn is kind of also become like a really big, important part of the Marvel kind of cinematic universe. Kind of really having like a, I mean, both writing and directing these films, something that Jon Favreau nor the Russo brothers did for either of their films. So he's certainly got a real big, solid grasp of this franchise. So you really kind of see, and I feel like, his vision coming through on this.
Yes, I do get what you mean on that. Media Shock, Baby Groot is far from cute. No, you are wrong. Oh, Kid Groot? Okay, baby Kid Groot, but still baby. Adelia, I get you, Carrie. I was on vacation when the first one came out after everyone else, and I was a bit hyped, but by the time I watched it, hoping to have an opening weekend experience this time now. Good point. Yeah.
All right. So, how do you feel like now, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2? How's it going to do? I mean, I don't think there's any debate that it's going to be number one.
Oh, it's going to be definitely number one.
Do you see the rest of the five, right now, everything's just shifting down one?
Yes.
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing else is coming out.
No.
I don't think anything else is going to come up either.
No.
You know, it's not like anything's going to change.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a pretty easy box office prediction there for our top five.
Yeah, you know.
But now, folks, it is time to do our box office bet. And, of course, you know how that works. Carrie and I are both going to bet on what we think the opening box office total will be for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume
2. You guys can chime in right now. We'll be curious what you think.
And, of course, the person who gets closest gets to brag about their prognostication skills. The one that's farthest away will have to go see the film, which I think we're both going to be seeing regardless. So
yeah.
This is one of those, much like many of the other big franchise films, big ticket films. Even if you're losing, you're still seeing it anyway, so it's not as unusual of a punishment as having to go see like something like Unforgettable.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Carrie?
Well, I like that.
Now, as a point of reference.
Oh, that's fine. Meet a shock. Wait till you see it. Yeah, he looks cute, acts cute, but boy, oh boy, is he vicious. He's like a kitten or a puppy. They're cute, but they can be ferocious. Yes.
The first Guardians film did $94.3 million back in 2014. So, given that, what do you think Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 will do at the box office?
Ken Jack says 170. Adelia says 155. Sky Patterson says 135. Ooh, California 1987, 190. Ooh. Serenity goes with 130.
Well, I mean, people were predicting
I was being that ambitious, but...
No, true, because people were predicting big numbers for Fast and Furious, or Fate of the Furious.
And it was big, but not...
Yeah, I mean, it's still big. I mean, nobody would turn an eye, but I mean, it came in around 110, and people were thinking, like, anywhere from 130, maybe, upwards than that.
I might be too low, but...
Oh, all right, so let me put
it'll
in...
be a little here. Conservative. This might be a little low.
I will go with...
Steve, do we got a drum roll?
This one?
There we go.
There it is.
There you go, Media Shock.
All right, Carrie Lane, what do you have?
105.
Interesting. I went 130.
I said I was being super conservative about it. So
interesting.
Because you were just pointing out like that was low. So I'm like, it might not be that low, but I'm like, fine, we'll do a low end because I'm going to see it anyways.
True. But. I mean, I guess it's kind of the thing like the eighth film. So still getting 110 is amazing.
Yeah.
The second film, given how much anticipation there is and how much kind of support there is, I feel like he could go 130.
Okay. Media Shock locked me in at 157. Woo.
Whoa. Look at that. All right, Media Shock. Nice. Beauty and the Beast was lowballed, though. Works both ways. That's true.
Yeah, I'd rather go low and then be like, yay, it did well.
Instead of being like so distraught and extended, like,
it did horrible.
It did 130.
Wow.
Life's not worth living.
No, it's fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know what you're thinking. Like, could they have pulled this off? And you know what we did? We pulled it off. We did another episode. Box office breakdown.
Crazy.
I know you folks didn't think it was possible, but we did it. Even without Neil around, Steve guided us in safely home.
Yes.
Look at that. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
You are the best.
You are so welcome.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. We got to get going because Carrie Lane has got a big episode of American Gods, the debut episode. Woo! She's got to go talk about that, so we can't keep her here talking about box office stuff.
And maybe uploading.
Well, there you go.
We'll see.
Ladies and gentlemen, even though the fun's stopping right here, it continues. Because you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thanks everybody for hopping in the chat. And if you're watching this even after the show's stopped streaming live there, you can hop in and share your comments down below. Carrie, what's a question you'd love to hear from these fans that they could comment down below if they're watching this later?
Oh, for this week?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Hold on. I'm like, favorite franchise.
Oh, all right. Look
there
at
you
that.
Go. Favorite franchise. Because we've been talking about a few franchises. What's your favorite? And a brief explanation why.
That's true. We're coming up to the big summer box office. Yes. So, I mean, lots of franchise films coming back into play. Yes. So, yes.
And I know I didn't say the winner for my other thing, but I promise I'll have it next week.
It's a coming. It's a coming, everybody. It's
fine. Or I'm going to maybe post on Twitter and then I'll link to... Oh, I can maybe comment in the video below or something. I'll figure out something.
Yo, or just make it a tease. Out. Make people excited to come back next week. It's a tease.
You guys got to come back every week because we love you. So come back.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Carrie, where can they find you?
Well, first of all, give the video a thumbs up. He always forgets that.
I don't want your thumbs up. I don't need that.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And then on Facebook at Carrie Lane Actor. I've been rehashing a lot of cool photo shoot stuff because I'm like, here, if you guys haven't seen these before. And then all the race car stuff today. And then I have the Popcorn Talk Film Festival interviews and American Gods after this. And, ooh, one more. And then Handmaid's Tale started on Thursday. So tune in on Thursday. Oh, stop it, Frank.
What? What happened? What? Something going on? Oh,
yeah.
Carrie's done plugging? Oh, my gosh. All right.
I got so much cool stuff.
I've got zero cool stuff going on with my life.
You got a cool shirt.
Barely. That's fine. You know what? Another thing you can chime in the chat on the comments down below. Where would you want to see Carrie Lane and I do another, like, live...
Out in the world.
Out in the world. Where would you like us to see this? Just kind of do a little quick hit talking about something box office breakdown related.
Are we going to keep this in the Los Angeles area?
Somewhere international, wherever you want. Distance is no object. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, though, at HappyGoJackie. Folks, thanks so much for joining us here. We'll see you back here next Sunday night with another edition of Box Office Breakdown right here on Popcorn Talk. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.